the best evidence is for sperm whales and for most whales and dolphins comes from their sounds. Sounds are very important in the ocean. They travel very well, much better than light or smell or anything like that. And we can record the sounds much more easily than we can see the animals. And so we've been able to listen to the sounds that the different whales and groups of whales are making and to chart those patterns. And when we do this, we find patterns which don't make sense just from the basis of genes controlling these things. So it's clear that the whales are learning their vocabulary, the sounds they make from each other. Off the Galapagos, where I've done a lot of work, there are two very distinct clans of sperm whales, and one make patterns of clicks like click, 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 or click, 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 click. We call them the regular clan. And then there's another clan who live in the same waters who go click, 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 or click, 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 click. We call them the plus one clan. So they have these different ways of vocalizing, but there's much more to it than that. The different social units form groups. They get together and work together for periods of days. They only do this with members of their own clan. The different clans have distinctive ways of moving around the islands. They have different feeding success. In normal years, when the waters are quite cool off the Galapagos, then the regular clan does better. But when they warm up, you get El Nino coming in, then it's reversed and everyone does badly. But now it's the plus one clan who are doing better. So it seems that these clans, which we and probably the whales themselves identify primarily through these sounds, their culture is a very important part of what they do, how they are, and how they interact with the rest of the world.
If they're relying a lot on information being handed from one individual to another, and they can even share information from one distant group to another, depending what the year is, what impact does hunting on those populations have if those groups are disrupted?
The first idea is that there may be particular animals, and probably in particular older females, who have very important sets of knowledge. And as things in the ocean are varying over long timescales, the older animals' knowledge becomes particularly important because they've been through a lot of the variations, which happen very rarely. So especially if you lose a lot of the older animals in your society, it can really affect the ones who are left. And we have indications of that in the eastern Pacific, where the whaling between about the 1950s and the early 1980s was particularly intense. And there, it's likely there aren't that many very older animals, and we find less success in raising calves than, say, in the Western Atlantic, where there wasn't that modern whaling. So that's one level of it. And another level is that if you get a population down to very small size, then not only do you lose genes, genetic diversity, but you lose cultural diversity. So some of the knowledge that has been important for that species may be lost just because there's so few animals left, and those that are left have either forgotten or not learned that particular knowledge. So, for instance, the right whales in the North Atlantic and North Pacific, which have been brought down to probably tens of animals, seem not to use many of the areas that traditionally they did use. And so in some ways, perhaps they've lost important cultural knowledge of how to use their environment.
So in your view, Hal, is this an argument to ban whaling or to limit whaling?
I think it's an argument to ban whaling, as well as possibly to limit whaling in some cases. I think the third argument, which I didn't make then, is the idea that the culture is a good marker of these other cognitive traits that are characteristic, obviously, of humans, but of a very few other animals, which we're beginning to think maybe we should give special rights to. So I think we need to think about that. These are difficult issues, but if we're going to give special rights to chimpanzees, we're not going to chop them up for meat, then I think the same arguments hold for whales, and we shouldn't be doing the same for them.